The only one I got ahead of time was, how does military service to include reserve duty get evaluated in the context of work experience? So I would say there's a big push for to up the numbers of vets at Haas. And so even I'd say reserve duty combined. So that's like a kind of a great combination, because you've got some business background most likely, and kind of the attributes that the admissions committee is looking for from, you know, from military applicants, kind of like the best of both worlds. In my opinion, there's a couple, I think three students here who were reservists before, and a couple that continue to do it. So it's possible to maintain that while you're here. In terms of like the context of your work experience, so there's an understanding that we're not coming to business school with the same skill set as probably the average applicant, which, and at least for me at first, it felt like I was kind of bringing less to the table than some of the other folks that are here, because it's just a super impressive group of people and accomplishments that make up your class. But what you'll see is what you really bring to the table is your leadership experience. And it'll be readily apparent within the first week or two. I think that's the case at any business school. It's stuff you kind of take for granted in the military, because it's such a day-to-day thing that we do. It's just ingrained in us. And that's not the case for 95% of the other people out there. So I think like right off the bat, that's the biggest kind of value added that veterans bring to the class. And the admissions committee is very well versed on everything military. Been doing like an excellent job the last couple of years. So I wouldn't be concerned about them kind of not understanding what you did in the military, if that was kind of part of the source of that question. I guess the only other thing I'd have to say along those lines is if when you talk about your military service to people on the admissions committee, there's a pretty good, or like other students that are not from the military, there's a pretty good chance they're gonna have no idea what you're talking about. So try to get used to like breaking down kind of like your past experiences and accomplishments into like some verbiage that's digestible by like someone who doesn't know the first thing about the military. And then, you know, if you're talking to somebody who does, you can kind of go from there. It's a common trend for vets to not be able to break the habit of talking in acronyms and stuff like that. And like, no one's going to understand that stuff. So I guess I'll just talk about a couple things maybe that I didn't know when I was in your position last year that I would kind of wish that I knew now. So one of the big selling points for Haas that I didn't really fully have a grasp of is how the GI Bill is going to work here for you guys. So because Haas is a state school, it's going to be 100% funded for the tuition, and you're going to get like a $3,500 a month BAH payment. I had always assumed that would only, GI Bill would only cover kind of up to like the most expensive undergrad institution. Haas is significantly more expensive than it is for undergrads. That's not the case. So that was kind of a pleasant surprise. You know, it's something to consider as you look at what business program you want to join. Yeah, let's see. Additionally, so for this chat, I kind of talked about starting school here on terminal leave. So I can talk a little bit about that if that's something you guys are interested in. So I knew I wanted to basically get going with the second phase of my life as early as possible. And my EAS was October 1st. So I had to take about 80 some days of terminal leave to get to start school this year vice next year. It's definitely doable. There's students that are inbound for next year that are doing that as well. My suggestion would be, it's when you hit the ground here, you kind of hit the ground running and stuff comes at you fast. So if you have the opportunity to take, I don't know, at least a couple weeks, maybe a month, if not more, to kind of just unwind, relax, and kind of like, I don't know, get your mind ready for business school, I would highly recommend it. It's going to make like the transition here significantly easier. But that being said, if you do have to start on terminal leave, you're not going to, the school will still be completely funded. There's just like a couple additional pieces of paperwork that the VA rep here at school will have you fill out. It's basically like an out-of-state waiver. And then they use the blue or yellow ribbon funds to cover the out-of-state tuition difference for this first semester while you're still on active duty. And then you go kind of on the in-state tuition. It's all kind of transparent to you on the second and your second semester on. So if that's something someone was concerned about, that's really not an issue. Let's see, I just got a question. Hoping to start during my separation leave period. Any insight? Okay, yeah, so that, I just read that after I started talking about that. But yeah, so it's definitely doable. I basically left an operational squadron and was like here 4 days later. If you can take some leave and back that up a little bit, I would recommend that. Get a chance to come up here and try to find some housing in person. Housing is pretty challenging. If you decide to come here and it, when stuff gets listed, it just goes like immediately. So that kind of impacted my first few weeks. Like I was not very late getting a place. I was very late getting moved in and everything. And like I said, you just hit the, like stuff comes at you really fast. Way more so than I had expected compared to like my undergraduate experience. And so if you can just have your like personal life settled and have that not be a source of like external stress, you know, I would definitely advise that. But as far as impact beyond that, like really, it was pretty much transparent. Really no difference to start than it would be if you were, had already separated. Once you get it all squared away with your respective service. I know the Marine Corps didn't give me too much trouble about getting like the 80 some days of leave tied into my terminal date. See, did you attend, another question, did you attend orientation events during your terminal leave period? If you can't travel, what are we missing out on? Okay, so I missed most of all of this because like of kind of how I was explaining my situation, but I do know a little bit about this that I can speak to. So there's gonna be week zero, which is the first week that you're required to be here. It's a week before the general classes start. It's kind of a big orientation week. Well, the school will offer a week prior to that a couple workshops that are optional that'll help set you up for some of the classes you'll have right off the bat, the core classes. So there's like a quantitative workshop and then kind of like a verbal one that's more like communication slash verbal focused workshop. And you can pick and choose which ones you want to go to and which ones you don't. That week is pretty laid back and they kind of really dive into just the fundamentals you'll need for the quant classes. One of the first classes you'll take is stats, and that kind of picks up pretty quickly. So I think the feedback I got from people who went to that orientation was that it was good prep leading into that class, especially if you haven't been doing something quant related or even, you know, thought about statistics since you were an undergrad. Because there's an expectation that you've got kind of like a standard, like working knowledge of what you should have learned in like an undergraduate stats class. Aside from that, everything else you can kind of just pick up on the fly. Let's see, orientation events. So I guess if you can't travel, that would be one you're missing out on. There's also some of the vets that had like quite a bit of time off before they started took advantage of some pre-MBA opportunities that are in the Bay Area. And what we'll do is push those emails out to you guys. As we get them, they start showing up in the spring and throughout the summer. Like for example, if you want to get into consulting, there's like some kind of like scholarships or like fellow type programs you can apply to that'll give you kind of a leg up on anybody else who's going for a job like that that didn't have a program like that. And there's a number of these that are designed for vets only to apply to. I remember last year seeing one on Facebook, Google, McKinsey did one, Bain did one, so tech and consulting. There are some additional ones that I can't remember off the top of my head. So that's something you could potentially miss out on. I think the vast majority of people don't do something like that, but if you have the time to do it, I would recommend it. It's a pretty good way to like just be ahead of the curve when you start here relative to the other vets. Yeah, other than that, didn't really miss out on much other than a little bit of time to kind of unwind. Any additional questions? Okay, I don't have anything else coming in. I'll kind of just go back to the start and just talk about the transition. So if you guys, I would highly recommend as you kind of translate your military experience into your resume, if you haven't done so already, to get ready to apply to a business school, that you get as many eyes on it as you can, veterans and non-veterans. you'd be surprised at how difficult that could be if you haven't started that yet. There's a couple programs that are pretty useful that help out with this. One is like Service to School. It's essentially like a free consulting service where they pair you up with current vets. Current vets at MBA programs. I know a number of students here use that, and I was had like good things to say about it. And a couple of the vets here are actually coaches on that. So they'll pair you up with someone who's out of school you're interested in and help you kind of with that process. You can also definitely utilize the Veterans Club. So, you know, myself or anyone else here that, I don't know, could probably pairs best with you based on backgrounds. We usually try to link up and kind of trade like resumes, essays, stuff like that back and forth to just kind of get it like an iterative process to, you know, make the thing as good as you can. But definitely like shop that around, essays and resumes, like outside of your veteran group of friends or colleagues. Because that different perspective is probably the perspective that like most of the people here are going to take when they read it, or future employers. So just want to make sure it's like resonates with all the potential readers. Let's see. Any other questions?
Hey, John. I don't know if you're hearing me.
Hold on. Yeah, I've got you. What's up, Andy?
Myself, been out of school for about 11 years. So anything we can do to prepare, like specifically for your early classes, just to get ahead of the curve?
Yeah, I think you don't need to do anything for kind of, they call them the soft skill classes. There's some leadership and communication type courses that you'll take in the fall, and you'll find that you'll be one of the stronger folks in those type of classes. But the other half of your classes are going to be quant based. So like I mentioned about the stats class, the first, right away, you jump into a class called Data and Decisions, which is pretty, I thought it was really interesting. It's like the application of basically the statistics you learned in undergrad into like real business cases. But there is an expectation that you're like, you have a pretty solid grasp on undergraduate statistics, which I did not at all. I couldn't even remember taking it 10 years ago as an undergrad. So those MBA workshops are helpful for that. Also, there's a website that they'll send you when you're admitted, and it'll explicitly say what the expected knowledge is for that class. And you can order the textbook ahead of time and kind of review it and stuff like that. There's a lot of resources to get ready. It's not as the transition just from like being away from academics for a while is, I felt like it took 2-3 weeks to kind of like feel comfortable in class, but it wasn't nearly as bad as I kind of thought it was over the summer before I got here. And there's, when you get here, they pair you with a study group. You do tons of stuff with the study group, especially in the first semester. And those study groups are like very carefully designed by the staff here to ensure it's people with different previous career backgrounds, different long-term goals, you know, different, most different countries, whatever, different parts of the world that they're from and you've traveled to, like just as diverse as possible. And within that group, there's going to be someone who is smart on pretty much everything that'll be taught in one of the classes in the fall. So I kind of leveraged a lot of that, with the classes I had more difficulty with. Like for me personally, I thought finance and the statistics course were a little bit challenging, but there's former investment banker, and then like someone who worked in venture capital in my group before that. Like everyone here is super helpful or willing to help out, and they made the transition much easier than I expected. And see, does that answer your question, Andy?
Yeah.
All right, thanks, man. Brandon, I saw, okay, so sorry, your intro came through garbled. Did you say that you recruited for consulting? Was that your goal coming in? So yes, I did. And that was my goal coming in as well. So it's a pretty popular, I'd say that in tech is the direction that almost all the vets here generally go. And tech, you know, people come here for tech because of just like our pretty much our awesome location. And there's just tons of tech options at the school that I could go into extensively, but for consulting, like that's pretty popular with the vets as well, because oftentimes, like you're talking about not being familiar with or ready for these classes. You know, you're often not very familiar with the business world in general, but you're very used to doing the kind of thinking, analysis, and communication skill, communications ability that consulting firms are looking for. And they are very actively recruit vets here. There's a ton of like vet specific consulting and tech events for that matter. Yeah, so that was my goal coming in. Tech or consulting recruiting is really competitive, but all the big firms come here and recruit on campus, which is a nice advantage over some other business programs. They have a lot of social events during the recruiting process, so you can really get an idea, good feel for like the differences between each of the firms and kind of what that lifestyle would be like if you were to choose that path. And yeah, that was my goal coming in. The thing I would add to that is consulting recruiting along with investment banking recruiting, if that's something you're interested in, starts pretty much immediately. So that's what part of added to what my personal like difficulty over the first few weeks. Like you do orientation, you're about a week of school, and then like the consulting process of recruiting starts. And if you want to land a job at a top consultancy, I mean, that's going to be 150-ish plus hours of your own time, probably outside of class, preparing for that. And that kind of just starts like immediately on top of the classes. So it's just a lot at once. And there's a lot of fun social stuff to do in the fall as well. And so that's like a pretty big balancing act, whereas like everything in the military is kind of, you don't have that much say. Like everything is kind of like laid out for you. They make life real easy. Here you'll have so many opportunities and so much stuff to do. It's going to be challenging to prioritize your time. But, you know, so my goal there would be like, if you have an idea already of what you want to do, like, you know, get involved in the stuff that's going to set you up for success and prioritize that over the other things, especially in the first semester, because once you land an internship, you're kind of set, you're set for the summer. And particularly with consulting, over 95% of summer interns got offered full-time roles for the following summer. So it's kind of, you're kind of just paying it forward. The first semester is going to be real busy, but you know, then you'll have the peace of mind that you've got a job lined up by usually January, February of your first year. And then, you know, you can frees up a lot of time to take advantage of all the other things that are offered around here. And does that answer your question, Brandon? Yeah, okay, I just got one from Rob. Did the thought of pivoting into tech cross your mind given the proximity to Silicon Valley? Yeah, definitely. That's my long-term goal. So one thing I found is that, at least for me personally, I'm planning on using consulting kind of as a means to an end to get into tech in Silicon Valley. So a lot of the tech jobs that you'll see posted here at school and that they recruit for on campus would like some level of technical ability and generally 3 to 5 years of industry experience, which is a challenge for vets. There are a number of vets here who got jobs directly with tech that they're really happy with, at least for kind of depends on everyone's background. You know, they may have done something in the military or prior to the military that kind of gives them a leg up in that category. But all these job listings will also say, or 3 to 5 years at a top consulting firm, because you learn a little bit, you get good at pretty much everything and get exposed to tons of stuff in 2 to 3 years of consulting. And that'll open tons of doors for you in the tech field or really wherever you want to go. But the, in terms of, just our proximity to Silicon Valley, so that's huge. So, there are way more, if tech's what you're interested in, there are way more tech firms that come here and recruit on campus, than probably any other MBA program outside of Stanford, just cause they're right next door as well. Let's see, what's also cool about that is there are people like executives and founders, VC folks that work over there that come and speak on campus routinely. Like there's so many of those opportunities that they don't have enough time to go to all of them. And they're all really interesting to hear what these guys say. And kind of like how they, you know, built their businesses and stuff like that. And I would imagine that's probably not the norm at most business schools. It's just an advantage of our geography. Yeah. Guys have anything else? All right, I don't have much else for you guys unless you got any additional questions. Only two of you left, so.
Yeah, John.
Yeah.
You talk about like housing options and, you know, showing up like 4 days just prior to
Yeah, so this was a huge stressor for me. So housing is, as you guys probably know, in the Bay Area, like in very high demand. And it's expensive. So when stuff gets listed, and it, for some reason, Craigslist seems to be the most popular place to list rentals around here. Like it doesn't usually last more than a day. So I thought it was really, and I didn't have time to come up here and just like house search because of the amount of terminal leave I had. So I found it really difficult to find a place. And I basically probably overpaying a little bit because I picked a place that I, you know, it's like an apartment building that had a nice website and I knew what I was getting into as opposed to like a Craigslist. But my recommendation would be if you, you know, as soon as you get in, kind of connect, if you're interested in having roommates, like connect with some of the vets that also applied with you that, you know, you would be interested in living with. I think having at least one in your house would help. Like we have a house here, first year vets that are like, it's like two vets and a couple other non-vet students. Those guys like have a blast over there, saves on BAH. And you just have like additional people with separate backgrounds to bounce stuff off of when you're at home, which is really nice as well. So you'll have questions about stuff all the time. Going back to just getting housing, we have a kind of like a spreadsheet that we'll send to admitted applicants that the vets group just takes care of, that we kind of just hand down like pretty good homes that like vets have been in for a while to like the vets that are incoming. And then there's also a Google sheet that just the entire like HOS community inputs stuff into. And there's like, I remember there being, it's every student's place that they live in trying to like turn it over if it's like from a landlord basically to another HOS student. So, if you just get on that search early, and we'll get that stuff to you like as soon as you're admitted, you know, that would definitely be advisable. So it's just, it's tough to, I think going through that spreadsheet, you know that there's a HOS student that lived there before that can answer any questions you have about the place as opposed to like a Craigslist ad or something like that. Just gives you a little more confidence that the place you're going to move into is kind of what you're looking for. Has got anything else? All right. Thanks, guys. And do you guys have the Vets Club email address? Here, I'll type mine in here as well. I know, Andy, you've got it. If you guys have any questions at any point in time, don't hesitate to reach out. You know, if I can't answer them, I'll put you in touch with somebody who can. And even if that's stuff that's like outside veterans related, I can put you in, like with a good point of contact at one of the other clubs or interest groups or something like that. So, yeah, that's all I got, guys. Thanks for joining today.